Let's now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, which you can find on page 523 of your Book of Praise. I know, whatever you dealt with last week was a secret, so I won't ask about that. We're just on Lord's Day 7. Here the Catechism asks the following: are all men then saved by Christ, just as they perished through Adam? No. Only those are saved who by a true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. What is true faith? True faith is a sure knowledge whereby I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in his word. At the same time, it is a firm confidence that not only to others, but also to me, God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. This faith the Holy Spirit works in my heart by the gospel. What then must a Christian believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith teach us in a summary. And ask, what are these articles? And what follows is the Apostles' Creed, as we've also confessed this afternoon. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is faith, or what is belief? I mean, obviously, we just read the Heidelberg Catechism, and it gives us that definition. We could go through it. But no, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking, like, if anyone else on any regular day, and you weren't here in the afternoon, think about the Heidelberg Catechism, how would you try to explain faith or belief to someone? What is faith? I was even thinking, like, is it something that you know? Is it something that you do? Is it something that may be more of a feeling? And if you struggle with actually defining faith, it's not that surprising, especially even if it make it more complicated, saying, like, well, what is true faith? I think it is difficult for a couple of reasons. First, just even think about language. Faith, belief, can be used in very different ways, in different contexts. It actually has a pretty wide range of meaning. Just think of the shades of meaning in phrases like, I believe you. Or, I'm not sure, but I believe. Or, just believe in yourself. Like, I believe you, it's more maybe of trust. I'm not sure, but I believe. It's like showing maybe some uncertainty, but certain maybe. And also just believe in yourself has maybe more of that confidence, you know, self-confidence. That is about what that comes with believing in yourself. So it does kind of raise the question, okay, then what does it mean when the Bible talks about faith? Like, what does that kind of faith look like? What does true faith then look like? Some kind of doubt, trust, uncertainty, confidence. What are some of the essence to it? The second difficulty with trying to define faith, and especially true faith, could be that in the Bible, sometimes people are described as believing, but they may not quite be believing in, like, true faith way. The Bible also realized, yeah, there's maybe faith, and there may be true faith. There's also maybe some kind of false faith. You know, thinking of, for example, the parable of the sower. There's many different ways in which the seed falls, and it starts to grow, and some may even have a temporary faith, but then it falls away. It wasn't really true, fruit-bearing faith. Something may even be called faith and not quite be it, true faith. So we even read in James 2. And so we'll seek to answer that question this afternoon. Okay, so what is faith, and what would be a biblical way of understanding of it? What is true faith, and what does it look like? Faith is what unites us to Jesus Christ. It is what helps us be grafted into him and have all that he has achieved and received then also becomes ours. Faith is that which is most, as described as most precious in all the world. We know where faith, possessions, all that can be taken away from you, but faith cannot. So what is it? And what is the type of faith that Scripture wants us to have as that true and living faith? Well, we'll look at it under the theme, the essence of true faith. And what stands out in the question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism is that it really has two main parts in question or answer 21. The faith is a sure knowledge and a firm confidence. My catechism kids, you know, like if you ever have to, what is true faith? And you can mention those too. That's you got the core of that answer. And I'll take that then also as our building blocks, as our points, main points this afternoon. A sure knowledge and a firm confidence. First, true faith is a sure knowledge whereby I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in his word. And right from the get-go, the catechism says, you know, true faith has content. We need to be able to answer the question, what do you believe? And if you're thinking like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Of course, faith has content. That probably shows how used to you are to the Heidelberg Catechism or how used to you are to just Christianity on it as a faith and belief. Because it's not always clear to everyone. And it might even actually be a little bit confusing if someone would ever press you on it. Because some people may be quick to answer saying, oh, you talk about faith as content and as a some kind of knowledge, but really, and in some ways even maybe echoing James 2, saying, no, faith is actually about action. Believing is a verb, something you do. In fact, some theologians have stressed that even. It's like, oh, don't talk about content, don't talk about knowledge so much, just talk about the action of believing. It's not so much about your mind, it's more about your heart, about your will, and what you want. Which does raise a good question. So is it then good to start saying that faith is first of all sure knowledge? Yes. Let's try to answer why. And maybe it's helpful to start within the language of the catechism in question and answer 22. Because it mentions that language of promise. What then must a Christian believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith teach us in a summary. All that is promised in the gospel. And it kind of ties together faith and promise. And illustrates really the essence of true faith. Just think about Old Testament passages and the father of faith, like Abraham. He is the father of faith, but what really was faith in his life? And it grows and it changes over time and he struggles with it, but what is really faith? Well, think about Abraham's life. It was really that, a response to God's promises. God says, I will lead you to a land you do not know, and I will be your God, and I will be with you. Abraham believes that promise, saying, okay, I believe that God, you will give this to me, so I will follow you. Or later on, he's promised an heir, a son. He says, okay, Lord, I promise that, or I believe that promise. Same as that, he goes out into an unknown land, which, you know, foreign, but also maybe hostile and little defenses. No family, no allies necessarily. And he says, well, Lord, you promised to be with me, so I'm going to depend on that promise. Had we maybe asked Abraham, so Abraham, what do you believe? He could have simply just said, I believe the promises of God. These are these promises that God has given me. And yeah, with that, of course, you may believe that God is faithful, that he's going to be true to his promise, that he's powerful, that he's able to fulfill those promises. But at its core, it says, this is his promise, and this is what I believe. He would have had an answer. He would have had some content to his faith. Faith isn't just an action or a hope without content. Faith is about holding God's promises and saying, this is true. This is what God will do. Yeah, you then follow through on those promises. You act on them. All fits together. But it needs to be a knowledge and understanding of those promises first of all. And that is why the Christian faith is what it is. It's about preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Without that content, without those promises of good news, like there wouldn't be any faith, really. And when we share the gospel with someone, we're not just saying, like, believe because just, you know, just believe, just do it. It's just an action. I said, believe. Because this is the story. This is the story of Jesus Christ. This is what he has done. This is the message of what Christ has done for us. This is the declaration that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ. And without that content, faith is just like some empty hope. Where you say, I hope it may happen, but I have no reason for it. We have a reason for our hope. We have a reason for our faith. Those promises that have been given to us. Now, the Catechism also specifies that this knowledge is a sure knowledge. That there is a certainty to this knowing. And that goes, in some ways, that language maybe of, you know, of Hebrews 11, that great chapter on all of these different heroes of the faith, examples of the faith, saying about how it starts. So that faith is being certain and sure of that which we do not see. This is an important point because of how we often use faith today. I don't know about you, I do know that I do this more often. Now, someone may ask me something and I'm like, okay, I want to give an answer, but I'm not 100% sure. I may even say that, well, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe, and then I give them the best idea that I possibly have. It's like when I say I believe, I mean I'm not as sure about it as about things that I may actually know. Otherwise, I'd just tell you, I know that this happen, but now I'll say I believe. Often in the language that we use, belief has, you know, there's some kind of uncertainty to it. There's a divide between things that you may know and things that you may believe. You may believe them to be true, but you don't really know them. And there is some, we can lay some of blame to certain philosophers for that. But it has really just been stuck around, and I think it's common for us to kind of think even about that. Yeah, there's things that if you try to talk about faith, you know, it's not about knowledge as much as about things that you may hold to be true, but it's belief. As if that's very different from sure knowledge. From an apologetic point of view, you can maybe just even realize that actually, like, a lot of us all every day have some things that we may say, like we know for sure, but we actually, it's a matter of faith. I mean, a lot of our world is based on faith. Think about banking, economics. Why is a $5 bill worth $5? And why does someone else take it from you and saying, okay, now you can have this? We all have certain kinds of beliefs, and that's more of a philosophical part to this, but realize that we all have in some way certain beliefs that make the world go around, make the world function. And often it is kind of arbitrary to say that there are certain things that we know and certain things that we just hold to be true, that are belief. And it's not the biblical way of speaking of about faith. Think about, again, Hebrews 11. That mentions that certainty that we have as an element of faith. But even more, just consider Jesus' own preaching and teaching and focus on the truth. He says, it's not like you may know something, but believe this. No, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Knowing him is about knowing the truth, seeing things rightly, understanding the world and really reality. Or just take as an example another letter by an apostle. 1 John 1 through 4. The 1 John, John starts his letter this way. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Now, part of that, he's talking all about this sensory language, right? That which we have heard, that which we have seen, that even which we have looked at and what we have touched. is in part to saying, like, Christ was really there. He wasn't a real person, real individual. But also it just emphasizes that this is real. Like, this is, we have a witness. We were there. We've seen all of this. We know this to be true. And then he goes on, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. That idea that this is true. Be sure about it, because this is our sure witness. Not a sense that certainty can be achieved and understood. No idea of like a sharp distinction between things that you may know and things that you may believe. These are the facts. These are the witness statements. Faith is a sure knowledge whereby I accept as true God's promises in Jesus Christ. Now let's consider then how this shows in our lives. And yes, knowledge leads to action. If we know something, we are able to act on it. And we'll see that more as we continue, but just even now consider about this knowledge and what we may start doing to us or should start doing to us. And for us. Maybe first this point, about that language of how we use believe. Think about what it means if we say that we truly have faith in that sure, as a sure knowledge in Jesus Christ. Shouldn't that make us, first of all, say, I believe you to Jesus Christ? Not yet, I believe in you. We'll get to that. But just know, I believe you. Think about that kind of belief. It's that fundamental trust. That someone tells you something, you say, I believe you. That you're trustworthy. Think what you say is true, and I'll rely on it. I'll trust it. And our faith is also, this is very core, also about that. Jesus sends out his disciples and apostles to announce the good news of the gospel and peace with God through Jesus Christ. How do we respond? Well, at the very least, it should be something like, I believe it. I believe that testimony. I believe you. The heart of faith is also about that trust. I trust you and the witness that you've sent out into the world. I trust what Christ has sent out by his apostles and prophets. And that's important. And you ask yourselves also, as we talk about faith, is that also at least the very minimum of what faith is for you? That you say, yes, I trust that gospel message. And so I'll also in my life trust this word as a guide, as a tool and as for life to show me the way. And I will trust that these promises are trustworthy. So if we do, well, that is an element of faith. Is what Christ is seeking also in each one of us. Secondly, some have noted that faith is often also described in more in imagery in the Old Testament, instead of even just talking just about faith or belief. And one of the images that it uses is that hungering and thirsting. Faith is a believing, a holding on to, a seeking, and also with that hungering and thirsting. Searching for your basic needs and basic needs of life. I think it fits very well with what we're going to be looking at, sure enough, with the firm confidence, but also in some ways with this sure knowledge. So I think often many of us, probably here, if not all of us, have in some way, in some area, a true thirst and hunger for knowledge. I mean, we're all curious about something, whether it's our field as what we work in, whether it's our hobby that we're like, oh, you don't mind spending time looking into this stuff and thinking about it, maybe reading up or watching videos or whatever it may be. Actually, there is some kind of hungering and thirsting after some knowledge or insight. There's got to be someone here who loves hockey and could give me Vancouver Canucks stats. Maybe just not the team, but even like each individual player, if you're a real fan. It's Because we have that hunger and thirst to gain an insight. Also consider then, as God gives you perhaps insight, curiosity into what we believe and into his word, make sure to also pursue that. I mean, too often I think we're tempted to just say like, oh, well, I guess maybe I'll look into that some other time. Maybe I don't really have the time right now. There's other things. But maybe don't just try it. Think about it. Don't let it just slide, but let it draw you in. And if you don't have that desire, curiosity, maybe just try to also cultivate that in its own way, hungering and thirsting. Well, by starting at something that maybe you do have an interest in, reading, listening, talking, whatever it may be. That comes with the big caveat that, again, faith is not about just gaining facts or information. I mean, often we do think about it that way. Sure, knowledge is, well, that person knows lots about the faith or about what they believe, but that means they must have a strong faith. Well, that's not necessarily the case. It's a spiritual knowledge that we seek to grow in, and there'll be more about that in just a minute. But at the same time, let's encourage one another to say, yeah, if there's curiosity, if there's a need for studying and a hungering and thirsting, let's grow in that. Grow in understanding, grow in conviction, grow also in what we say is that sure knowledge of God's promises. But it comes with that caveat that it's important that we don't end here with saying, okay, this is it. Faith is sure knowledge. There we go. As long as you have a certain knowledge, that means that you have faith. No, it's also a firm confidence. And that is crucial. One of probably the best ways the scripture makes this point is those verses that we read in James. And James knows that some people say, like, they claim to have faith, claim to have believers. And then he says, you know, that's not all. You need to act on it. You need to work, bear fruit. But not so much interested in that this afternoon as that he says, you know, that the demons believe. He says, you know, you believe that God exists? Great. You have that knowledge? You're sure about it? Also great. But realize that also demons have that same, and they shudder. Demons, you know, basically says have excellent theology. They know all about the spiritual world. They know all about what God has done. They know God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit very, very well. They know the character of God excellently, and yet they hate him. Superb knowledge, maybe 100% sure about it, but not even close to saving faith. And sometimes in theology, they kind of call that historical faith. Maybe not the greatest or clearest term, but it's meant to convey what some people may have, like that knowledge of the faith as you may have about, you know, the Roman Empire. It's like, oh yeah, I love history, the Roman Empire. I know, I believe it existed at some point. I can maybe tell you some facts about it. I may even say, like, today it's very significant. It has left its marks on our society in this way and that way. But that's the extent of it. It's knowledge. You know the stuff. You see its impact. But does it have anything to do with you? Well, not necessarily. Same can happen with Christianity or with the Christian faith. We may know it, we may have heard it, and yet also, and even know exactly what to do because that is what is expected, say the right answers, but even be very sure about it all, and yet have no living relationship with our God. Just like the demons. That is why it's so important to get to that second point in the catechism. And while it's a sure knowledge, it's at the same time, it is a firm confidence that not only to others, but also to me, God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Faith is that firm confidence. And in beautiful language, it describes the exact opposite of what you may call that historical faith, or it's just a matter of knowledge. No, this confidence, it is personal. That's not just for other people. It's not that just something happened in the past. No, it is for me. Christ did this for me. It's not just some thing that happened a long time ago. It's not just something about a place far, far away. I'm talking about what God has done for us and is doing for us today. Forgiveness, everlasting righteousness, salvation. And here we come to that trust element of faith. It's not just about knowing, it's about trust. We use that in our daily life more often. I already mentioned that. I know I believe you. But Scripture always goes further. It says, no, we don't just believe Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, trust, but that deep trust. Because think about it. When someone says, I believe in you, or I believe in so-and-so, most of the time when you think about it, it's a very personal matter. That's what Scripture is always after, that you entrust yourself to someone. That language of giving yourself over to that one. Perhaps one of the best biblical language, again, that it uses as more of an imagery or illustration is that language of you know, taking refuge. You know, you come under someone's wings because you trust that you're safe there. You look for a rock to stand on in a world that is shifting and changing. That's the language of faith, the image of what faith is when it says, I believe in Jesus Christ. I entrust myself to him. I come under his wings, under his lordship, and I give myself over to him. And it draws out so clearly that faith is never just about the facts. It's about faith in a person with whom you seek that personal relationship. I mean, that's the message of 1 John as well. When I read those verses, yes, it was about the things that they had seen, the things that they had heard, the things that they had touched. But at the same time, it's also then all of that serves just that living relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just about what happened in the past for John. It's about that being drawn in and knowing that Jesus Christ, knowing him personally. Doesn't just want to convince people about what happened in the past, but draw them into that living relationship with our Lord. Or even just consider the Apostles' Creed and how it's put together. Yes, it's a matter of like 12 articles, but it's always framed in that triune structure. It's about our Father, Son, and Spirit. God, whom we get to know as those three persons. And so the Catechism challenges us. It's not just, do you believe Jesus Christ? Yes, it is about that, but it's not just, do you believe in him? Is that living relationship essential to your faith? And at the end of the day, if you have to say, what is faith? Well, it's just that I entrust myself to him. And I mean this to all of us, whether you're old or whether you're young, whatever situation in your life, can you say that? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you say like that? Yes, that is what faith is for me. So maybe you're older and you think like, I know it. I know my stuff. I have that sure knowledge, but that personal aspect, I've been overlooking it. You're relying on your knowledge so that you know what to say. You know how to live, but that personal firm confidence is just not there. Neglecting that aspect of prayer and reading and worship as part of your living faith life. Or alternatively, maybe you're older, maybe you're younger, and you just struggle with, like, what am I supposed to believe? Like, Pastor, you're saying, yeah, it's a sure knowledge, but I wonder about what it is and what do I truly believe? Okay, but can you find your refuge and hope in Jesus Christ? And also then maybe confess that, yeah, I'm not going to be able to figure everything out. But I trust and entrust myself to this Savior. And do we all encourage ourselves, encourage one another to not just grow in that knowledge, but in that spiritual life? No, parents instructing children, saying, you know, yeah, know your stuff, know the stories, know the promises, but also put that into practice. Make it your own. And the same as catechism students. You may know the catechism, you have to memorize it every time, but can you make it your own? And so these are promises. They're not just written down. They're not just for everyone around me. No, they are actually for me. As we examine ourselves, also keep in mind that faith is a gift of God. True faith is not something that we can boast in, saying, look, this is what my faith is. It's vibrant. It's alive. Like, look at all that I have done. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's faith. The Holy Spirit works in my heart by the gospel. That powerful, enlightening, personal work of God in each one of us. Just that wonderful encouragement. And it just hits home that point of entrusting ourselves to God. I mean, even the very presence and activity of faith within our hearts, within our minds, is very much the work of God. And when our faith is weak, or it is struggling, or it is on the back burner and passive, not where we want it to be, and let that be the encouragement to return to the basics of what it is about, that sure knowledge and a firm confidence. And realize that, you know, you're not coming to God and trying to start that relationship. No, He has already come to you in His Spirit to work in you that faith, that desire, that seeking of Him. It's the very work of God that He has started within us. And also believe His promise that He will continue it. Because faith is what unites us to Jesus Christ. Because faith is the most precious thing. It is a sure knowledge of and a firm confidence in the glorious promises of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Some kids may be wondering why I didn't mention Simon, and I was going to try to fit it in, so if you didn't get it yet, now I said it, Simon, as one of the words to listen for. Anyways, I never try to trick you, I just sometimes don't get it fit in, it just doesn't work out, but there you go, now you got all four. Let's also then now rise and stand our hymn of response, hymn 71, "The Hope of Faith Shall Not Deceive Us." Now, as we also read in James, it's good to also put our faith into action. And so also this afternoon, there is the opportunity to show our thanksgiving and our care for those who are in need with the collection which we received by the deacons. And then after that, we'll sing from hymn 43, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, Hebrews 12, which follows on that chapter on all of these examples of faith and leads into Christ as the author and finisher of our faith and the focus of all that we believe. And so then we'll sing hymn 43, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.